Hi, I'm Shannon Riley. I'm a professional organizer, ADHD coach, and therapeutic yoga teacher. And this is Beyond the Checklist, a podcast for neurodivergent folks who are tired of one-size-fits-all advice. Around here, we honor how your brain really works, whether we're talking about creating calmer spaces, building focus, or learning to rest. This is a place for practical tools, honest stories, and permission to do things differently. Let's make space for what matters in your home, in your time, and in yourself. Hello, and welcome back to Beyond the Checklist. Today, we're going to talk about something really important, especially if you've ever looked around your space and felt embarrassed, overwhelmed, or stuck. And that is decluttering without shame. Because if you've ever felt like your clutter says something bad about you, or if you've tried to follow just toss it advice, and ended up feeling worse, this episode is for you. Let's talk about what it actually looks like to work with clutter gently, slowly, and without turning it into a judgment about your worth and your ability. Let's start with why decluttering is so emotionally loaded. We live in a culture that ties tidiness to morality. A clean house is seen as responsible. A cluttered home, though, lazy, undisciplined, messy, uncaring. But that narrative leaves out everything real people, real humans truly deal with, which is chronic illness, neurodivergence, trauma, grief, burnout, caregiving, fatigue. It doesn't account for how executive dysfunction and life circumstances make decisions harder, or how sensory overload can make physical spaces feel chaotic, or how trauma can make it feel unsafe to let go of things. So let me say this really clearly. Clutter is not a character flaw. Clutter is not a character flaw. And it is possible to work with clutter without shame, guilt, or pressure. A lot of decluttering advice you hear, even the well-meaning decluttering advice, is often laced with shame. You might have heard, if you haven't used it in a year, toss it, be ruthless, just get rid of it, it's just stuff, you don't need that, stop making excuses, or even soft shaming. You'll feel so much better once it's gone. Imagine who else could use it instead. These messages might motivate some people, but for a lot of people, it can lead to freezing, guilt spirals, avoidance, rebuying things later, or emotional shutdown. Shame and shaming someone or feeling shameful yourself doesn't create clarity. It creates paralysis. And when you're already navigating executive dysfunction, trauma, or sensory overwhelm, that pressure makes it harder, not easier, to make decisions. I'm going to say that again. The pressure makes it harder, not easier, to make decisions. So what if decluttering wasn't about fixing your space or fixing yourself? What if it really is about building a relationship with your space, your stuff, and your energy? Here's a mindset shift that you could try. It may resonate, it may not, and that's okay. I'm not here to make everything perfect. I'm here to listen to what I need now. I'm going to say it again. I'm not here to make everything perfect. I'm here to listen to what I need now. This could help make decluttering less about discarding and more about reconnecting, less about shoulds, more about choices, less about speed, more about safety. Here's an example that I see in lots of people that I work with, and even just hearing from people in their experiences with the decluttering or clearing out process. You might have bags of donations sitting by the door, in your car, in the garage, for a really long time. It could be a few weeks, it could be a few months, it could even be a year or a couple of years. And often it's not because you don't care. It's not because you don't intend and have the best goals to let go of those items. But it truly is because each bag, each piece of your stuff that lives in those bags represent a part of you, a part of your identity, a part of your past, a part of hopes for the future, potentially. That makes it really hard to let go. Whether you're trying to declutter a space that you physically live in, especially when it comes to clearing out a space that belonged to somebody else, there can definitely be a pause and a hesitation with actually saying, okay, let's get those items out. I've been working on a project where it's a full house clean out, and there's a lot of motivation to let go of things. There's a lot of stuff in the home as they had lived there for decades. But when it came to getting the okay to actually take the items out of the home and either throw them away or have them picked up for donation, there was a hesitation about actually letting the stuff out of the house. And that's a totally normal reaction. I'm never going to, when I'm working with somebody, and I don't recommend if you're helping a friend or even doing it for yourself, I don't recommend trying to force yourself to do anything. I never take the items out without permission. And I might have the permission when we start, but I might not have the permission when we end, and that's okay. And I just check in. Hey, do you want me to schedule something? Is there any way I can help get the items out? Do we want to put it somewhere where it's out of sight? What would be helpful to take the next step? And it's okay if it can't be right away. I don't want it to feel more stressful, though. I don't want you to look at it and say, gosh, I just cannot take these things out. This is ridiculous. I'm so lazy. This is silly. I can't let any of it go. This is such a flaw. Like, what's wrong with me? That is not at all what is happening. Our stuff is a part of our identity. It is a part of who we used to be. It could be pieces of who we hoped to be. And it could be a representation of what we are now and who we are right now. It's not easy to let go of things. And it can feel frustrating to feel like you're tying your identity to stuff so much. But we all do it, and that's okay. Here's a few tips about what it could look like to declutter and clear space without that shame. Start small, smaller than you think. It can be a shelf, can be a drawer, it can be a surface, it can be a sock. Let your nervous system warm up. And that starting small, try to think of a category of things that you feel okay getting rid of. So what are things that have felt a little bit easier to let go of? I see a lot of times that that could be clothes, but that might not be the case for you, and that's okay. It could be books for you. For some people, books is really hard to let go of. So kind of think about that category of things that you feel okay going through and let that be your warm up. Use gentle questions instead of setting harsh rules. Think about things like, do I want to carry this into the next season of my life? Does this feel like a support or stressor right now? Would it be okay if I let this go slowly? And it's okay to create a holding space for maybes, a bin or a box for those not ready yet items that really allow you to pause making a decision without completely freezing and stopping progress. And it's okay to name emotional attachments out loud. Say, this was a gift I never used and I feel guilty. Then decide what's more helpful, the object or the insight. In conversation with working with a client recently, we had come across things that were given to them and there's hesitation. I don't know if I should get rid of this. I don't really want it. And I shared with them that the item was really important to that person, but it's probably not as important to you. your items are valuable to you, but not necessarily to another person. And that's okay. That's kind of the point of stuff, to be totally honest. There's value in it when it's yours, but someone else isn't going to find the same value, and that's okay. And that little saying gave her permission to be okay with letting something go that felt more stressful to keep than it did to let it go. Allow your progress to be circular, not linear. You might revisit the same drawer 5 times, and it's not backsliding, it's layering clarity. Celebrate your effort, not the outcome. You open the drawer, awesome. You paused instead of pushing through, fantastic. The number of bags of donations or trash does not represent the amount of progress that you made. Let's take a moment to re-anchor together. If it feels safe, you can close your eyes or soften your gaze. Take a slow breath in and exhale. Now say to yourself mentally or out loud, my clutter is not a reflection of my worth. I can go at my own pace. I don't have to do it all today. It's safe to start small. Take one more breath. Open your eyes if they're closed. And you're doing fantastic. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode helped you to soften your approach to your space, or if you're learning to declutter in a way that actually feels supportive, I would love to hear from you. I shared some gentle tools with you in the episode today, and I have a few resources on my website, and I'll link them in the show notes. Gentle decluttering and decision-making resource, questions and things that you can ask yourself as you're moving through your space, as well as a gentle donation and recycling resource where you can try to find the places that feel really important and special to you to be okay or be more okay with letting things go and go somewhere else, if that is what you want to do. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Beyond the Checklist. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and remember, you're doing the best you can, and that's enough. Until next time, keep making space for what matters in your home, your time, and yourself.